You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
It's about some phony ideal, some phony theology. Oh, not a theology based on the Bible, different theology.
It's time to have a debate on our political positions, but not question each other's character and faith.
To paraphrase Martin Luther, the heart and conscience has room only for God, not for God and the federal government.
My real issue is not that I have a skin disease that is causing me to go bald. That is not my real problem, that I'm going bald. My real problem is that I'm a sinner. And that's what Christ still grapples with on a daily basis for me.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
If you were to go in for some surgery, it would not be unusual for the doctor to sit you down and spend quite a bit of time explaining to you what the surgery entails, the risks that were involved. And if he's a good surgeon, he's probably going to explain to you pretty much exactly what he's going to do during that procedure. As much as you want to know, he'll provide that information for you. That's just considered to be good basic practice of medicine, good basic provision of health care. Now, when it comes to abortion, it's different. The abortionist does not feel the obligation to fully inform his quote-unquote patient. Now, there's a reason for that. Lately, there's been some legislation state by state requiring that a woman at least receive a sonogram. She doesn't have to view the screen. The doctor in some of these laws does have to explain to her what's appearing on the screen, but she doesn't have to view the screen before she gets an abortion. The abortionists don't like the idea. Some women who are seeking abortions don't like the idea, and those in the pro-choice camp certainly do not like the idea. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, the 22nd of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend the first few minutes talking about abortion ultrasound legislation in Virginia and Texas with Jennifer Popick of National Right to Life. And then, a little bit later in this first hour, the Issues Etc. comment line, some response to that. We'll talk briefly with Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about some early Lutheran mission work in India, Nigeria, and Papua New Guinea. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend that entire second hour with Pastor Bill Swirla. Today is Ash Wednesday, beginning the season of Lent, leading to Holy Week and to the celebration of Easter. We'll talk about Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season with Pastor Bill Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at issuesetc, or you can leave a question or a comment on the Lenten season and Ash Wednesday at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Jennifer Popick is State Legislative Counsel for National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. Jennifer, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thank you for having me.
One of the stories I read about this, and this has to do with this the law that has been passed in Texas requiring an ultrasound before an abortion. They interviewed Dr. Curtis Boyd, who runs an abortion clinic in Dallas, I believe, and he said of this legislation, it's a burden for the woman, and the people who passed this law intended for this to be a burden. What's your response?
Well, I would absolutely disagree with the statement that this is a burden. Like you were talking in the opening there about how any physician would have to give sort of the medical ramifications upon a surgery, we would argue that not only is this something, a decision far greater than a surgery, this is actually a decision whether or not to terminate the life of an unborn child. This ultrasound requirement, not only are the abortionists almost 100% of the time, practically 100% of the time, they're doing an ultrasound anyhow. And 23 states already have these laws, and they've been upheld in just about every place. And the thing that's unique about the Texas law, while we had in the pro-life movement long been working on these ultrasound laws, ones that the woman had to be offered a chance to see a picture of her unborn child, and in an ultrasound that the abortionist was almost always doing anyhow. What what it came down to was that we found that in many states, the abortionist was burying her legal chance to see the ultrasound in a stack of papers. He was putting a slip into a stack of papers, or he was telling her in a way that she wasn't taking advantage of getting the chance, this one chance to see a picture of her unborn child. And so what happens in Texas is that several hours before an abortion procedure, the abortionist, you know, the woman's free of anesthesia or any sort of influence there, and the picture's put in a place that she can see it. And so the burden is actually off of her to sort of overcome this sort of intimidating situation, or she might not even actually know she has a chance to see an ultrasound. So we're actually taking a burden away from her and giving her access to this incredibly truthful information regarding a life-changing medical decision here. So that's, you know, that's how I would respond to that.
Another objection is that this is a law solely intended to simply make it more difficult or a more lengthy process to get an abortion.
I think I would respond again that standard medical practice issued, you know, through the Federation of Abortionists, they're doing these ultrasounds anyhow. So we're almost in almost no set of circumstances are we requiring something that they're not already doing. What we're doing here is making sure that she's got the best possible chance to actually see that ultrasound. Now, you know, rather than, like we said, sort of burying it in a way that she wasn't asking for it or didn't know it was available, we're making it as simple as possible. The abortionist is doing the ultrasound anyhow. It might be for dating purposes or to guide during the procedure, but they're almost always doing them, I would say, well over 95% of the time. And so we're not trying to add anything or add any expense under the procedure that isn't already there, and we're just trying to give her the best shot she has to see it.
I wonder, you said that a lot of these laws are already in place. Why do you think the ones, in particular the ones in Texas and the one that is being considered in Virginia, are getting as much attention as they are?
Well, the idea that the abortionist is no longer able to sort of, you know, use his discretion in a way that he describes saying, oh, you know, you're going to have access to this ultrasound or anything like that, it's definitely putting more responsibility, more of the burden is going on the abortion provider. And there's nothing that I think sort of stirs up that hornet nest more than putting more onus on the abortion provider. And what it is that I think the thing that's sort of getting people interested in both Texas and in Virginia, something they share in common, is that an ultrasound must be done. And like we said, they're doing them anyhow, but the fact that they must be done and it's going to give the woman a bigger chance at seeing it, I don't think the abortion industry likes it. We have not only anecdotal, but some evidence out there that when a woman sees an ultrasound, many times she's less likely to follow through with the procedure, and that means less money for the abortionist, quite frankly, and I don't mean to sound that callous, but, you know, this is something that that is a consideration there. So I think the fact that they're also, you know, that the abortionists are getting another, as they perceive it, you know, requirement put on them, what we're doing is taking a hurdle away from the woman, taking a hurdle away from her having to proactively seek out the ultrasound. We're making it much simpler for her to have access to it, and I don't think they like it.
One of the things that, at least from my perspective, it highlights is that the abortion industry and pro-choice forces are often trying to make abortion sound like it's just a mainstream medical procedure, very routine, and like having any other kind of surgery. But this seems to highlight the fact that it certainly isn't, and especially that these are elective abortions we're talking about. If I had an appendicitis and they did the ultrasound before the surgery to determine the nature of the problem, the doctor is not going to say to me, well, now that you've seen the ultrasound, do you want to have your appendix out or not? He's going to say, it's in your best interest to have your appendix out, and I really urge you to do it. It sounds to me like it really highlights the fact that abortion is the taking of a human life. It is a procedure, not medical, it really in any sense. But in fact, I don't even know what to classify it as. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think from our point of view, we agreed this is, we've made this piece of legislation, the VUE ultrasound, we've made it a high priority because what it really does is it focuses on the humanity of the unborn child. It, you know, the ultrasound technology has been around for so long, and it's truly a window into the womb. And it's something that we, not only, of course, will it save lives, will it give women a chance to see and change their minds and to have access to very accurate information, in fact, the most accurate information she can have regarding that unborn child. But I believe that it forces the debate on the humanity of the unborn child in a way that many other kinds of legislation doesn't. And not only will it save lives, but I think it gets the debate going in the right direction.
With only a minute, we mentioned the Virginia rule. How is that faring?
There was some sort of internal debate about some of the requirements, but I think that when all said and done, hopefully we can see a piece of legislation that comes out that requires that an ultrasound be done and gives the woman a chance to view it. So I think that the debate is going well. It's received a lot of national attention, but I think that the debate will ultimately hopefully come out favorably.
And that Virginia rule is a little bit different from the Texas one in that it requires a 24-hour waiting period from ultrasound until the possible performance of the abortion. What's that 24-hour period for?
That's correct. The 24-hour period is it's upheld through the Casey Supreme Court decision. It's meant for a period of reflection. So in Virginia, it requires an ultrasound be done, and then she must wait 24 hours, and she's given a chance to get a printout of it or to see it at the time. It's not the stronger must display language that we see in Texas, but it's a period of reflection and an ultrasound must be done. So that's the difference there.
Real quickly here, why a state-by-state strategy when it comes to this kind of stuff? What's good about it?
I think what's good about it is that not only can we really get the debate focused on the humanity of the unborn child, but, you know, short of overturning Roe, what we can do is we can save the most lives that we can in the states that we can do it, and we can do it now. And so I think that this sort of approach is good. You know, we can chip away. We can give, you know, by giving women access to information or, you know, preventing abortion on fetal pain, or there's different things that we can do across the states, you know, getting rid of the webcam abortions that are starting to go on in certain places. These sorts of things can save lives now, you know, with the eye on the long-term strategy of overturning Roe.
Jennifer Popick is State Legislative Counsel for National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, the Issues Etc. comment line.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8385. Thanks for your support.